This is Althea. I'm in 11th grade at Bethel Park High School.
I'm Janyla, and I'm 12 years old, and I live in Pittsburgh.
This is Anna. I'm 17 years old, and I live in Murraysville.
This is Julian. I'm in 8th grade at SciTech in Oakland, and this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Welcome back to the Kidsburg Podcast. We hope you're excited to be a part of this episode, learning about so many incredible things for kids and families. I'm Melissa Rayworth, the editor of Kidsburg.org, and I am here with my friends and coworkers, each of them a parent just like me.
I'm Christine Sorensen, a partner with Kidsburg and an anchor at KDKA-TV, and I can't wait to jump into this episode. Today we're going to learn how words matter. We're talking with a local DJ who happens to also be a youth coach who changed one repeated phrase in baseball. See how it changed his life and changed his whole team.
And I'm Kidsburg's director, Yuling Chang. And we're also going to get honest intel from local teens about the coaches in their lives. But we want to start with our hidden gem, a place you may not know about in the Pittsburgh region.
For years, families who visited what was then known as the Carnegie Science Center would also stop by the Highmark Sportsworks building to the right of the Science Center's main entrance. It was a big interactive space that taught kids all about science using examples from sports. Well, now, as you probably know, the Carnegie Science Center has become the Kamen Science Center, and the entire facility is getting a slew of new resources and upgrades. Among the coolest is the newly opened Sports 360. This new exhibition is the first major update to any gallery at the museum since the opening of Mars the Next Giant Leap 3 years ago. It's been designed for people of all ages, from early learners to senior citizens, and at nearly 10,000 square feet, this huge space has all kinds of sports-related content and interactives. It has a mix of hands-on challenges and cutting-edge technology that explores things like physical reaction time, balance, biomechanics, and sports strategy. It's all about how science powers athletic performance. And the building that was formerly Sportsworks will eventually house an exhibition that also sounds incredible. It is called The Science of Speed, and that will include so many things, including a multi-story electric go-kart racetrack, among many other things. So Wow. For families who have not visited the Science Center in a while, starting now, this whole year ahead is going to be filled with all kinds of new things opening that are really worth checking out.
Sounds like so much fun. I mean, not just for the kids, but the whole family.
Yeah. And I think for kids who say, well, I'm not really a science person. I'm more of a sports person. Well, put them in the car and bring them down to the Science Center and show them that sports and science are so blended together.
That's what I love about the Kamen Science Center. They really do take everyday activities and break it down and get kids interested in science. Head on over to the Kidsburg website, where we'll have a link to Sports 360 in the Kamen Science Center, and you can learn more about their new exhibits and events.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
How often have you said to your kids, "Don't cry, you're okay"? Well, of course, it comes from a place of love, but did you know the message you're sending might actually be dismissing their feelings? In today's podcast, we talk with Pittsburgh radio host Bubba of 100.7 Star on Odyssey Radio about how he's using what's called active listening in his role as a baseball coach, and the woman who taught him this, Brenda Levin, therapist and author of What I Really Want to Hear. Brenda and Bubba, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Well, Bubba, you and I were talking, and you shared how this conversation and interview you had with Brenda really changed the way you coach. Tell me about that.
So as a baseball coach, and I coach high school athletes, I coach a team called the Pittsburgh Hardball Academy, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. And I'm also the coach for South Fayette High School Baseball. And, you know, something that happens all the time as a baseball coach, and I believe that anybody that's into coaching has probably said this 1,000 times. Let's say a kid strikes out. Let's say he looks at a pitch that he should swing at. So many coaches, including myself, would say, "So what, next pitch? So what, next pitch?" And until I talked to Brenda, and I don't know if Brenda remembers this or not, I kind of had a light bulb moment in my head when she was talking to us on the radio for a segment we do in May called More Good Days in May, which deals with mental health awareness for Mental Health Awareness Month. We realized that the "so what next" pitch, while it's trying to reinforce, you know, have a short memory and move on, really doesn't take into account what that player might be feeling. They don't want to strike out. They don't want to look at that last pitch. They wanted to succeed. They wanted to help the team. And by dismissing how they felt really, really was detrimental.
Bubba, that's really interesting for me to hear, because as a parent on the sidelines and I have two soccer players, I'll often say something like, shake it off, it's okay, move on, right? And you're making me rethink what I'm doing. So Brenda, explain to us, what is active listening? How does it work?
So happy to be here. And I'm so inspired listening to Bubba's story about this. And I do remember, Bubba, I do remember we talking about this for sure. I'm a grandma now. And when I first learned this skill, I was a mom of a two-year-old and a two-month-old. And I thought this was magic. Like, how is this working? And then through my career in the last 25 years, realizing that there is science behind it. And, you know, our brain is wired for protection, that amygdala, you know, in our brain, which is actually the first part of the brain to develop before the problem-solving part of the brain develops. So our kids are really, you know, responding from this protection threats. We've all heard the fight, flight, or freeze response. So the brain is wired to protect us, and it cannot distinguish between a criticism or like real physical danger. And so kids are reactive and respond with frustrations or meltdowns or tantrums. And what active listening does is that it creates safety, because we are calming that threat center, that amygdala, that part of our brain that is wired to protect us. So, you know, hearing the words for what we're feeling is that when kids hear the words for what they're feeling, they begin to cope. They begin to problem solve. They can actually use that problem solving part of their brain. So if it went from magic to science, there's actually a science behind it.
And so explain how it works. You mentioned you start by acknowledging, or the kids hear words of what they're feeling.
Yes, yes. So this must be so frustrating for you. I know you're really disappointed. My daughter just used that with her two-year-old who has trouble falling asleep at night by himself. And she said, I know you're upset. I also gave her a feelings chart, which, you know, I've been in schools for 25 years, so I've been teaching emotional intelligence to children. And the more words that kids have for their feelings, the better able they're able to talk about them. So, right, this whole emotional intelligence complements this whole active listening, because kids need the words for what they're feeling so they can express and talk about it. You know, it is part of our whole inner emotional experience that we all have.
But Brenda, then how do you go to the next step and not just wallow in those feelings?
It's a natural progression. When kids hear the words for what they're feeling, it's amazing to watch them. I was at the Science Center when my daughter was super upset that we didn't get a chance to ride the simulator ride because they were closing. And I could see a meltdown tantrum happening. And I said to her, Kara, I know you're so sad and disappointed that we can't ride this ride now. I actually saw physical change in her body, her face change, and she's looking around. And she's thinking, and then I happened to notice a sign onto the side that said, overnighters can stay all night. And I said, look, Kara, if you're an overnighter, you can stay here all night. And then she thought about that for a minute. She looked at me, she said, but mommy, I would miss you. Aww. You know, and in that moment, I was absolutely astounded, because, you know, it all began with connecting with her emotional experience. Kids can actually do their own problem solving. We're allowing that part of the brain to work. And so, you know, we can make some suggestions, which I did with that sign, or, you know, we could do some problem solving together. Once a child is calmer and is able to, again, access that upstairs brain, there's an upstairs and a downstairs brain, there is safety in knowing someone understands how I feel. And with that safety, so many other things are possible. Resiliency, teaching emotional intelligence, problem solving, empathy toward themselves, which is self-compassion, empathy toward others. Because if they understand how they feel, it's so much easier for them to understand how other people feel. So this is also a really incredible way to teach empathy as well.
Brenda, that's really fascinating. I mean, it's really giving me an order of steps, you know, emotional connection and then safety before you get to problem solving. Bubba, I'm curious. I understand when you learned about active listening, you said, this may have changed my life. How did that change your life?
So it changed my life in a lot of ways. And obviously the one when it comes to coaching is easy. And I just want to touch back on something that Brenda just talked about. Whenever in the example that I gave with a kid strikes out, a baseball player strikes out, and you say, so what next pitch, right? It dismisses their feelings. But the one thing that active listening has done is I don't know that I always understood what they were feeling. Some players would strike out and they would be disappointed. Some players would strike out and they would be angry. Some would strike out and think they were a failure. And by saying, so what next pitch, you were never able to understand what their own impediment was, because I always say that baseball is a game of failure, right? The greatest baseball players that have ever played have failed 70% of the time at the plate. So you have to understand failure, right? And it is such a big part of the game. And by being an active listener, and I'm talking about coaching, it made me realize that in order to help a player get better, I had to first understand what they were feeling, because some were anger. And I was like, they were angry that they were strike out. They were mad that they didn't swing at that pitch. Or they were disappointed in themselves and they felt like they let themselves down, or they let you down, or they let their parents down. Or someone just felt they weren't good enough. And by understanding how they feel, by being an active listener, it then allows me to coach them. Like, listen, if you think you failed because you're not good enough, well, what can I do as a coach to have you better prepared for the next time you're at the plate so that doesn't happen again? If you're angry, then allows me to coach you to say, okay, that kind of emotion doesn't make you better. That kind of emotion tenses you up. And with baseball and hitting, you've got to be relaxed and you've got to be smooth. So it changed my life as a coach because it allows me to understand what that player is feeling, because now I understand the feeling to coach through it. But as a dad and as a human being, it made me realize that words matter, right? Words always, always matter. And understanding how words affect people. So it changed my life by saying, okay, we always have conversations every day. Is there anything that we do more than interacting with other human beings? And especially with teenagers, their interactions are different than ours. They're texting, they're Snapchatting, and they're being overwhelmed with all of these different levels of communication. And understanding how those communications create a feeling in them, and understanding that feeling by being an active listener, it helps me as a parent, helps me as a coach, helps me as a friend, helps me as a husband, helps me as a father, by understanding their feeling, being able to work through it. And I was never able to do that the best way as I can now, because I understand the feeling of whatever we're working on, which I never, ever, ever was able to do before.
Walk me through what you now say instead of so what next pitch, and tell me how you've actually noticed a difference in your team.
All right, Christine, you just struck out. Listen, how do you feel? What do you think happened? And then you tell me what happened. I said, okay, I know you didn't want to strike out. I know you didn't want to look at that third pitch. But here's the deal. I know you want to be better. Are you angry? So if you're angry, I'm just mad. I should have done that. I can't believe I did that. Why would I have looked at that third pitch? Well, listen, I know you're mad, but that's not going to help you get better. Or, oh, I can't believe I did that. We worked on that. I'm so disappointed in myself. Okay, Christine, I know you're disappointed, but here's what we can do to work through this. So instead, you were waiting on a fastball and you got a curveball, so you were surprised. So let's adjust it accordingly. When we get to two strikes, let's change our approach to that moment. You are going to take on a new approach with two strikes, which is something I've done as a coach. Once we get to that second strike, we know you only got one more strike to get a hit. We have adapted a two-strike approach to hitting with all of my players. And every one of my players, because now I know their emotions in that moment, right? When you get to two strikes, some kids get nervous. Some kids get determined. Some kids get uptight. We have changed their approach by simplifying their approach with two strikes based on the individual player by what I have learned by dealing with this active listening approach.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I think a lot of times in sports, we're told to tough it out, right? And I love this approach that you're taking. But, you know, oftentimes that implies that you shouldn't express your feelings. And I think it's even harder for boys and men who are traditionally told not to show their feelings. So Brenda, I'm curious, why do you think it's important that coaches and dads in particular start to make these small changes when it comes to not suppressing how we might feel?
That is so true. And there's many, many books written on boys and their emotional life and how boys, yep, they're taught big boys don't cry. And yeah, it's a sign of weakness. I would suppose that that's why, you know, boys are not expressing their feelings, and how incredibly important it is. And listening, Bubba, to how you're talking to the kids. And I also remember during our interview, you said this, you know, this doesn't feel natural. This is not how what I would normally say.
It really has, because it goes 180 degrees by what I have always taught baseball. And that is, the best baseball players have the shortest memories. And that was a mistake.
And again, it's all out of love or out of wanting to help the situation get better really quickly. Oh, there's, you know, like, you know, there's no reason to be upset, you know, forget about it, next pitch. But right, that actually doesn't go away. It just kind of pushes those feelings down. And then they come out in other ways. You know, when you talked about anger, I also wanted to mention that anger, interestingly, is a second feeling. So those kids that are saying they're disappointed or they're frustrated actually is sort of like a higher level thinking and emotionally intelligent wise, because anger covers up. It's almost like that tough feeling that covers up those little more vulnerable feelings. And so to get to those more vulnerable feelings, as you, that you had mentioned also, is actually, you know, more emotionally intelligent and helps us move on even quicker when we realize, hey, I'm not just angry, but I'm really hurt, disappointed, frustrated, upset. And I think, you know, whether we're, you know, dads, moms, male, female, like to make these connections deepens these relationships. It is such a transformative skill in connecting us.
While you're on this, I just see if you don't mind me chiming in for 1 second.
Sure.
And you just made a very, very good point there. The one thing which is kind of ancillary to this that I've seen is the relationships that I've built with my players by being an active listener. And I thought that I was the type of coach that had a really good, honest, transparent relationship with my players. But the one thing that active listening has done is created relationships with my individual players like I never thought I could have, because of the open, honest, transparency and care that I show by being an active listener. If you would have told me a year ago, what kind of relationship do you have with your players? I'd be like, the best. I have great relationships, not realizing how much better it could be through this process.
Brenda and Bubba, we could make this connection, you know, since you've been able to implement what you've learned. It's really wonderful to see you guys. I'm so glad we could bring you together and that we could all learn from what both of you've taught us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's inspiring for all of us. And for everyone listening, if you want to learn more about active listening, we're going to put links to Brenda Levin's books on kidsburg.org, including What I Really Want to Hear and a book geared more toward families called Your Fantastic Elastic Brain. Thank you both.
One of the things that struck me, you know, I think often adults feel like we have to seem like we already have it all figured out, and we don't realize the power of showing kids that we're still learning things. I love that Bubba explained that he really thought he was using the right language and doing the right thing coaching. And once he interviewed Brenda, like he said, he had this light bulb moment and he was like, wait, I can learn something new. I can pivot and do things differently. And I think it was so powerful to hear that from somebody who, he's successful at two different careers. He's got this thriving life as a coach, and he is this radio personality that so many people in Pittsburgh love. But he's out here sharing with all of us that he discovered something brand new and it taught him something. And I found that really inspiring.
And I appreciated how he said to honor the feelings that kids have in that moment. And I've been guilty of that, of telling my kids like, hey, we'll talk about it later, or it's okay, don't worry about it, you know, shake it off. I mean, it's true. You should really honor it because they feel it inside and they need help getting it out. And I also appreciated how Brenda said, teach your kids new words for how they feel. Mm. There's a lot of words that they want to use, and let them use it.
Well, the fact that feeling charts exist, I didn't even know that. And I love the idea that there might be something that a kid is having trouble describing on their own. And then if you have a feeling chart, they can be like, oh, no, it's that. That's what I'm feeling.
And I think we all have these kind of throwaway lines or things we say all the time and don't really think about. But as he said, words do matter, and they can make a big difference. And we've got a link to Brenda Levin's books at kidsburg.org. And you can listen to Bubba on 100.7 Star and on the Odyssey app weekday mornings. I join him and his co-host live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. with all the latest info from Kidsburg.
Now, in a moment, it's time for Tea with Teens.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast. Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
We know that coaches can be a big part of kids' lives, especially when they work with them for years. So we're spilling the tea with teens, and we are finding out, how has a coach influenced you?
A coach has had an influence on me, telling me that I won't be able to accomplish all the things that I want to unless I put in the hard work to do it.
I feel like my piano teacher has had a very big influence on me. Her name is Erica, and I feel like she's a very relaxed person. I procrastinate a lot while playing the piano, especially like while practicing, but I feel like she's just a very calm person, and I love playing the piano, so I feel like that's a very big part of my life, and I aspire to be more like her because she's just such a great person.
My current ballet teacher, her name's Miss Chandler. She basically got me to love ballet, and I used to dread going to dance class. I just knew it was something I should do, but taking her classes and being pushed in ways I hadn't been before and simultaneously being so well understood as a disabled person who might have limits in dance made me feel safe in the classroom and made me want to pursue dance more deeply. My name's Moss. I am 18 and I live in Mount Washington.
My name is Ira. I'm 14 years old and I'm from Fox Chapel and I go to Shadyside Academy.
My name is Asia. I'm a 12th grade student at City Charter High School.
For anyone with kids who like sports, this has been an especially great episode. But what I learned about active listening is going to help in so many parts of my life. And I know we've got so much more good advice for parents at kidsburg.org.
Be sure to sign up for our free weekly Kidsburg newsletter for all the intel on resources and events that can help you raise the kids you love in the Pittsburgh region and beyond.
And we've got more podcast episodes dropping, so don't miss the new ones every week. And if you've missed any from the past, you can find them all at kidsburg.org/podcast. Thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg Podcast.
This is Louise. I'm in ninth grade at City High Charter School in Pittsburgh, and this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
On the next Kidsburg Podcast, we talk with Fire Lieutenant Dave Hershey from the Pittsburgh International Airport, and we hear what life is like as a firefighter.
Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to learn about the resources and advice from local experts that can help all kids have the best opportunity to thrive.